Once upon a time, there was a place that wasn't a place. It had many names. Avernus, Gehenna, Tartarus, Hades, Abaddon, Sheol. For some, it was an inferno of pain and flame and ice where every nightmare had long since come true. For others, a place with air that couldn't be breathed and water that couldn't be drunk. We will call it Hell. Hell was not considered a pleasant place by the majority of its inhabitants. However, being dead and being there, as they imagined, against their will, their opinions counted for little. And indeed, had Hell been pleasant, they would have felt cheated. They were there for pain, for suffering, for torment, which they received in abundance. The other inhabitants of this place were not dead. However, neither were they alive in any biological sense of the word. Humanity called them demons, without understanding what it had named. There was little that demonkind had in common with the legions of damned souls with whom they shared the infernal marches. However, they were all agreed on one thing. This was as bad as it got. It couldn't get any worse.
The Sandman, Act 2. Episode 2.
Season of Mists, Chapter 1. In which the Lord of Dreams makes preparations to visit the realms infernal. Farewells are said, a toast is drunk, and in Hell, the adversary makes certain preparations of his own.
Alice's Journey Behind the Moon, Lewis Carroll.
Within the castle of Morpheus, Lord of Dreams, the library is endless. It goes on forever.
October, G.K. Chesterton.
Perspective and angle and distance are so at odds with each other that discerning what is ceiling, what is wall, and what is floor becomes all but impossible at a distance.
Babylon?
All the surfaces are covered with bookshelves, broken up by the occasional marble bust or portrait.
The conscience of Sherlock Holmes.
Here, teetering upon his ladder, surrounded by stacks of books and empty shelving, Lucian, the chief librarian, with his huge glasses, his pointed goblin ears, antique shirt and tie, and customary frock coat, attends to his duties.
The Hand of Glory, Erasmus Fry.
Hey, Lucian.
Matthew. This is a tall and unstable ladder. These are very heavy books, and you are an extremely large raven.
Oops!
Now, where was I? Smith and Jeeves, Woodhouse.
So, this is your library, huh?
Yes. Love can be murder, Chandler.
It's a big place. What's so special about it, then?
Oh, it's a very unusual library, Matthew. Somewhere in here is every story that has ever been dreamed. The Dark God's Darlings, Lord Dunsany. Cthulhu Springtime by Lovecraft. Oh, I did enjoy this one. Lord Greystoke of Barsoom by Edgar Rice Burroughs.
They're just books!
Oh, yes, but unusual books. You'll find none of them on Earth. In this section, for example, are novels their authors never wrote or never finished, except in dreams.
I was never a big reader, to be honest. I was more the man of action when I was alive. Anyway, you must be pleased to have the library back.
I am the keeper of the library, Matthew. Without it, I am nothing. Were it to be destroyed again, it would destroy me as well.
Yeah? Say, watch this. Nevermore! Good, huh?
The complete Poe is in the Southern Annex. All the books and tales and plays and poems he never wrote, all here. Would you like me to read some to you?
Huh? Lucien, I was doing Peter Lorre in that Carmen movie.
Lucien, Matthew, we must talk. I will be in the Great Hall.
Immediately, Lord.
I didn't know he could do that.
Matthew, our Lord is Dream. This is his castle, his seat of power at the heart of the Dreaming. In this place, he can do whatever he wishes. Oh, one moment. I must lock the door.
Is that a new sign? The Library of Dreams. The management cannot be held responsible for anything lost or found within.
Quite. We can't have any books getting out. I wonder why he wants to talk to us.
I don't think he does just want to talk to us, Lucy.
Gangway, amigos!
Ooh.
I think he wants to talk to everyone.
Dream's throne room is huge, vaulted, and gothic. Its arched windows, covered by heavy drapes, are the last barrier to the madness of pure dream, which is at the true heart of the dreaming. At the foot of the steps to the throne is a crowd of palace staff, and other permanent inhabitants of the eternally shifting realm of the Lord of Dreams. Amongst the dream creatures, we can make out Abel, holding little Goldie, the baby gargoyle. There is a pair of conjoined twins, a clown here, a skeleton there, an elephant-headed boy, and, well, you will have met your own creatures in dreams. All eyes are on Morpheus, their focal point sitting on the throne, dressed formally in a heavy black coat. His ebony hair is tousled and spiked, his thin face paper white, with ink pits for eyes, their star-like pupils ranging over his assembled subjects.
Hello.
Greetings, Lord.
Cain, Abel's brother, is absent. Standing nearby is a figure in a janitor's overall with a pumpkin for its head, smoking a cigar.
Hey, how you doing, boss?
I thought I should talk to you. Talk to all of you. It seems I am going to have to leave this place. And I may be away for quite a while.
Are you kidding me?
Listen, must you go?
Does anyone else remember that we already did this?
In fact, I might not be coming back. 2 years ago, I returned to this realm after an enforced absence. During that time, the dreaming decayed badly. Now, it appears I must leave you once more. Let me explain. Some time ago, I entered into a brief relationship with a mortal woman.
The dream creatures watch a vision reflected in the vaults of the throne room. It is Nada, the African queen whom Dream loved, throwing herself from a mountaintop to her death. Morpheus, watching in horror, is too late to stop her.
But for a number of reasons, the relationship did not terminate in a satisfactory manner, and against my wishes, the lady killed herself. I condemned her to hell. I sentenced her to torment and imprisonment, never to end, unless one day I stood before her and told her she was forgiven, that she was free.
A vision of Nada appears, sealed into a cage carved from a cliffside in hell, shards of a razor-sharp glass set in its bars. She is thin, but still striking, spiral tattoos on her cheeks, her body decorated with walls and abstracts.
Oh, Kaiku. Oh. Kaiku.
She has been there now for 10,000 years, and her name is Nada. It has been pointed out to me that I may have acted hastily, mistakenly, wrongly, that what I did was not honorable. So I intend to go to Hades and set her free.
So, you go to hell, you tell us you can go now, you come back, what? What's the big deal?
The big deal, Matthew. The big deal is that things are not that simple.
Morpheus conjures an image of himself after his long incarceration on Earth. He is standing, a diplomat, on a dangerous mission at one of the gates of hell, which was opened by the minor demon, Squatterbloat.
There's one at the door, at the gate to damnation.
2 years ago, I had cause to visit hell. My helmet was in the possession of a demon. I needed it. I wanted it back.
Well?
I wish to talk to your master. Take me to him immediately.
Oh, yes, my clown. And who might you be?
I will take no insults from you, little demon. Guard your tongue. Lucifer will not be kind to one who insults an honored guest, and I am a guest in this realm, as I am the monarch of my own.
I contended with Corazon, the demon.
I am a world, space floating, life nurturing.
I am a nova, all exploding, planet cremating.
I am a universe, all things encompassing, all life embracing.
I am the anti-life, the beast of judgment. I am the dark at the end of everything, the end of universes, gods, worlds, of everything. And what will you be then, Dream Lord?
I am hope.
Oh. But then I am... I don't know. I don't...
And I won. They returned my helm.
Here, Dream Master. Take it.
Unfortunately, in doing so, I incurred the enmity of Lucifer Morningstar, the Lightbringer. I humiliated him in front of all the demons of his domain.
One day, my brothers, one day, I shall destroy him.
Re-entering hell at this point would be a mistake. If it means direct conflict with Lucifer on his own territory, things may not work out satisfactorily. Unfortunately, I have no other choice. I am still going to hell. I may not return. If I am destroyed, another aspect of Dream will fill my shoes. I trust you all will make my reassumption of the role an easy one.
What if you are held captive, Lord?
If I am imprisoned in hell, then matters will be more difficult. I have made certain plans to cover this, which I will discuss with some of you individually before I leave. However, let me make one thing quite clear. I do not wish to see this world fall into ruins. I do not want to see a repeat of what occurred the last time I was gone.
There is a shiver of unease in the room. The Dream Dwellers remember a time of chaos and disruption when their master was held in a crystal cage by a mortal who had sought to imprison Death, Dream's sister. Morpheus looks out at them, from the ragged-winged horses to noble Assyrian giants, from the small child in the nightgown holding a candle to the pulsing human heart on a tray. being held by something small covered entirely in hair. They all look worried.
If that occurred once more, I would be displeased. I trust you understand me well enough that I need not elaborate. Perhaps I will meet with no opposition in hell. Perhaps whatever opposition I encounter may be easily dealt with. Perhaps. Perhaps this audience is unnecessary. Perhaps not. After all, I would not like any of you to worry unduly. That is all. I trust I shall see you all again. Thank you. You may go.
Cheer up. You'll be fine. You'll see. You'll be fine.
Matthew, I thought you would return to Eve's cave when I sent the others away.
I didn't go. I wanted to stick around. Do you mind?
No.
So there's really a Lucifer, huh? I mean, I knew there was a hell. You see, I did this deal once, but it all turned to shit. What's he like? Have you known him long?
Dream holds out one hand, index finger extended. Upon its tip stands the shimmering image of a tiny angel. It's beautiful, of no gender, a pre-Raphaelite vision. This being of pure light, with feathery angel's wings, was Lucifer Morningstar, as Morpheus first knew him.
Since the beginning, he was the Creator's finest creation. The angel Samael, called Lucifer. It means the bringer of light. Of all the angels, he was the wisest, the most striking, the most powerful. Saving only his creator, he is still perhaps the most powerful being there is.
More powerful than you?
Oh yes, by far.
Well, at least you got the element of surprise on your side.
That would not be honorable, Matthew. I have already sent a messenger to the Lord of Hell to let him know that I will be coming. One must do these things properly.
Smart, boss. Real smart.
Lucifer's palace has not changed much in the 2 years since Morpheus last visited Hell. It still has crenellated spires, buttresses of suppurating flesh, outcroppings of teeth, clumps of bodies hanging from gargoyles, and windows stained with blood and ordure. Lucifer stands on his balcony at the top of the highest tower. His expression is set as he stares out at the grey skies of hell and the expanse of the world of the damned laid out far below him. Lucifer is still beautiful, a junky angel haloed by hair. The shining feathered wings he had in the image conjured by Morpheus are now leathery and bat-like.
Great Prince?
It is one of Lucifer's servants, Alacino, the Allura, a fleshly thing with a decaying head on which the eyelids are sewn back, so the eyes are forever open, and tusked teeth. It is naked, and chains run in loops from its nipples down to the two penises hanging between its legs, piercing the skin. Small dead animals hang from chains set elsewhere in its flesh. Lucifer does not turn around.
Great Prince.
Hmm?
We have a prisoner, sire.
So?
He claims to be a herald, an envoy from the realm of the Dream King.
Ah. Then bring him to us, Alacina.
Mazakin.
This way.
Don't hurt me! Don't hurt me!
The envoy is Abel's brother, Cain. his hair and beard wet with nervous sweat, his glasses askew, his hands tied behind him. He is pushed forward by a demon, in appearance an attractive woman, but with the left side of her face missing, as if eaten away, the bones of the skull and the tendons still showing. She holds a long, jagged knife at Cain's throat, the pommel has a baby's skull upon it.
The prisoner, sire.
Ah, Prince Lucifer!
Shut up, scum. Speak when you are spoken to. Get down on your knees.
Lucifer's beautiful gaze falls upon Cain with the same kind of fleeting interest one might give a bug.
We know you. Yes, we know you of old. The first man born of woman. What is your name?
Cain, Lord.
Ah, yes. Deliver your message, Cain.
Message? Yes, right. From the Lord of the Dreamworld, Prince of Stories, Monarch of the Sleeping Marches, his darkness dream of the endless, to his infernal majesty Lucifer, called Morningstar, greetings. Right, trusty and well-beloved cousin?
No, not the message, just the content.
He is coming here. He hopes you will allow him access to your realm, but whether you will or no, he is coming. There.
Ah.
Shall we take him out and destroy him now, sire?
Eat his face?
You cannot hurt him. We may not give you our permission. Cain is under the protection of one far greater than the Lord of Dreams. Here.
Lucifer's hand lifts Cain's hair from his forehead, revealing a mark, a perfect circle.
And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Where you still live, eh?
Yes, Lord.
You're under his protection. Dream was sensible to send you as his messenger. Any other envoy would have been returned with his liver in his mouth. But he knew that. Loose his bonds and leave us.
But why, Lord Lucifer?
Do you wish to make us repeat ourselves?
No, sire. Your pardon, sire.
Cain, untied, unnerved, takes off his glasses and polishes them furiously with a grubby handkerchief.
Cain. Well, you must know, of course, of the Cainites.
Can't say that I do.
Gnostic sect, 2nd century. They rejected the books of the New Testament in favor of the Gospel of Judas. They believed that we created the heaven and the earth, and that you were the persecuted party in that unfortunate affair with your brother. They also held that the way to salvation was to give way to lust and temptation in all things. And no greater percentage of them turned up here than of any other religion. Amusing, isn't it?
I wouldn't know.
You know, your Lord Morpheus embarrassed us publicly, that we swore then that we would destroy him.
There were rumors.
And now he's returning to hell. Well, well, well. He's coming back. Isn't that wonderful?
He smiled at me. Did you see that, Lyda? He just smiled.
I don't think they smile at that age, Carla. That was probably just gas. He's only a week old.
Lyda is less zoned out than she was when she lived in the dream realm with her late husband, the baby's father, Hector Hall. The child, conceived in dreams, born in the mortal realm, lies in a crib in her new apartment and is now looking up at his mother and her friend, Carla.
Hmm. Have you got a name for him yet?
Not one I like. I was going to call him Steve after my father, or Hector after, well, after Hector, but when he was born, well, he doesn't look like a Steve or a Hector, does he?
I don't know. He just looks like a baby, sort of bald and just boiled. But hun, you're going to have to find a name for him. You can't just call him a thing, or, hey you, Paul.
I've still got a while. I'll think of one.
It's getting late. I ought to scoot. Had any other ideas about what you're going to be doing?
Oh, you mean like bringing up, hey you, Hall, isn't going to keep me busy enough? No. No ideas yet. Oh, here, I got it.
Thanks.
But I will do something when he's a bit bigger. I don't know, maybe go back to school. I don't think I could go back to the costume stuff now. Not with Hector gone. It wouldn't be the same. I've got a while. And money's not a problem. I don't know, I'll figure something out. Anyway, thank you for coming over, Carla.
Aw, I still can't get over his cutie-wooty little hands.
Oh. Me neither. Hey, listen, I'll see you soon, okay?
Okay.
You.
Me.
You. Get away from my child. Don't you touch him. I am warning you.
Calm yourself, Hippolyta. You have nothing to fear from me today. I have come to see your son, that is all.
You killed his father. If you think I am going to let you touch him...
Please. I have little enough time as it is, and your son is important. It is unusual for a child to gestate in dreams. It has not happened for so long. Child formed in my realm.
I don't know who you really are, but it's your fault that he doesn't have a father or a name. He is my son. He's nothing to do with you.
There is much you do not understand, Hippolyta Hall. Perhaps one day we will talk further. But for now, I merely wanted to see the boy. I have been forced to embark upon a journey. I may be away some time.
Fine. You've seen him. Now get out!
Very well. And there. Good afternoon, Hippolyta. Oh, by the by, his name is Daniel.
What? Daniel? Daniel.
The Lord of Dreams flies through the drifting landscapes which are created by sleeping minds. They are portals he can use to go where he needs to.
One more person to see then. One final goodbye to be said, and then to hell. To Nada. To Lucifer. I move from dreamer to dreamer, from dream to dream, hunting for what I need, slipping and sliding and flickering through dreams, and the dreamers will wake and wonder why this dream seemed different, wonder how real their lives can truly be.
An elderly French woman's dream provides a doorway to a dusty, cobwebbed wine cellar, now only existing in memory.
Here, in the dream of Cecily Latour, as her father, now long dead, walks her through the family cellars. Let's see.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, ma chérie.
This one. Merci, monsieur.
Je vous en prie, seigneur.
In his London bedroom, Hob Gadling sleeps soundly, looking perhaps 40 of his 750 years of age. A woman sleeps next to him. Hob dreams he is standing in a misty limbo, dressed in the clothes he last wore in the 14th century. In front of him, a 1990 desktop computer is failing to boot up. Standing nearby, compounding the anachronism, is Queen Elizabeth I in a jeweled gown and high ruff collar.
I am sorry, Your Majesty. The bastard hard disk's crashed again. But this hardware's still better than Roger Bacon's mechanical head.
Time is, time was, time's past, Sir Robert.
Bold as brass, ma'am.
Hob, might I intrude?
Good Lord! It's you!
It's me.
You're a bit early, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I thought you weren't due for another 99 years. Hang on. Queen Bess? A computer? You? Bloody hell. I'm dreaming, aren't I?
Yes, you're dreaming, Hob. And yes, I'm early. I have brought you a gift.
Chateau Lafitte 1828? I didn't think there was a bottle of that stuff left on Earth.
No, I doubt there is. But a few bottles remain in dreams.
If this is really you, then you're particularly early. What's the occasion? Is it your birthday?
You must be born to have a birthday.
Sorry?
No, it's not my birthday. I thought I ought to talk to you. You see, it is possible I may not be able to make our next meeting. I'm going on a journey. Perhaps I will return soon, perhaps not. I'm saying I may be gone for a long time.
Well, you know, the idea of what someone like you considers a long time sends shivers down my spine. But you'll definitely come back, I suppose, eventually.
Here.
Thanks.
Drink the wine, Hobgadling.
Shouldn't we make some kind of toast?
If you wish. Make a toast, then.
Hang on a second. If we're going to make a toast, let me think of a good one. Got it. Listen to this. To absent friends, lost loves, old gods, and the season of mists. And may each and every one of us give the devil his due.
Indeed, Hob, indeed.
That was a bloody peculiar toast. I don't know why I said that stuff. Ah, well, you say strange things in dreams. It's a good wine, my friend.
You may keep the bottle. I must go, I'm afraid. I have procrastinated long enough.
Oh. Well, it was lovely seeing you. Even if it is only a dream.
Thank you. Good night, Hob.
Good night, dream.
Bobby?
Oh.
You were talking in your sleep, love.
Woke
me up.
Yeah? Oh. Sorry, love. I had a dream. Silly dream.
Hob looks at the half-full bottle of wine on his bedside table.
A silly, silly dream.
Lucifer flies high over his realm, huge bat wings spread wide, one perfect arm reaching down, holding onto Cain by the hair. Cain dangles, arms waving, mouth open in terror.
Below you is our domain, firstborn man. Look at it. What do you think? Home to millions of demons. To an uncountable number of mortal souls. Do you think they're happy? Why, just recently, one of the minor demons, some little yellow rhymer, thought to declare himself a king of hell. To usurp the triumvirate. Came to nothing. These things never do. But perhaps it made him happy. Briefly.
Oh no, please! Oh no!
What we wonder is why they bother. These little demons. They come to our palace and say, we have battled. There will be a coalition. We say, very well. And they oust each other and destroy each other, and it matters not. Or they say, Lucifer, you are deposed. You are no longer king of hell. As if merely saying something were enough to make it true.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Lucifer has brought Cain to a blank and featureless region of hell.
They believe themselves Lucifer's equals, Cain. All these pitiful little gnats. But there is only one that we have ever owned to be our superior. There is but one greater than us. And to him, we no longer speak. Still, it is better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. Eh, little brother killer?
Certainly, Lord Lucifer. Whatever you say, Lord Lucifer.
Oh, we didn't say it. Milton said it. And he was blind.
Huh?
Oh. Go back to your master. Tell him we received his message. Tell him that we will be waiting for him. Tell him that hell is anticipating his visit. Most avidly. Now go.
Lucifer gestures. And where Cain was crouching in fear, there is now only a cloud of fog. Lucifer, wings extended, flies high above his domain, arms raised above his head and fists clenched. The Lord of Hell.
Hold! You, all of you, demons and damned, nobles and slaves. It is Lucifer who speaks, the first among the fallen. Hear our words.
Below him, his subjects turn to listen. Horrible things, nightmares feasting on the still-living bodies of the damned, fanged mouths dripping with blood and entrails pause and stare up toward the sky, as does whomever it was that they were eating.
It was 10 billion years ago that we first came to this place. 10 billion years ago we first began to reign. Since then, one by one, willingly or otherwise, each of you has followed us here. You've taken up residence in this world, taken your opportunities for pain and pleasure. In hell, you have fought and eaten, screwed and screamed, rejoiced and hated and hurt.
Corpses which have had fresher corpses piled on top of them fight to the surface of the charnel heap, eager to hear the words.
Now, we discover with, we must admit, a certain perverse delight, that one more comes here. Morpheus of the Endless, the Dream Lord. The news of his visit has crystallized certain matters we have been pondering for millennia. Listen, damned children. This day, Morpheus is coming to us in a futile attempt to free one he loves from our domain.
In her cliffside cage, Nada cries softly as she hears this.
Kaikul.
Some say that one day in hell is much like all the rest, that in this place of flux eternal, nothing changes. But this day in hell, this day you shall all remember forever. And so shall he.
Dream's throne room.
Sire, Cain has returned. He has given your message to the Morning Star.
Ah, where is he?
Here, my lord.
Lord Lucifer, I nearly... It was... Can't stop shaking. The look in his eyes. My lord, I gave him your message. He says he'll be waiting for you. He says he's looking forward to it. My lord, he is most terrible. He didn't care about my mark. He just didn't care. He thought it was funny.
Rest, my servant. You have done well.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
My lord, I beg you to reconsider. Please, it isn't too late.
We do what we must, Lucian. My helm?
Here, sir.
Sometimes we choose the path we follow. Sometimes our choices are made for us. And sometimes we have no choice at all.
Robed and wearing the helmet, with its long snout of vertebrae, Morpheus draws a portal in the air.
Goodbye, Lucian.
Through the portal can be seen a starscape. Morpheus steps through the portal with the cares of the world on his shoulders, as if he's walking to his doom.
Farewell, my lord.